Welcome to the Sunday Night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and who maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Joyce H., a compulsive overeater from Florida.
Hi, all. Thank you for the invite, Jessica, and thank you for the opportunity to share what I love so much, and that is to be part of this group. I came into program in 1994. As a young woman, I struggled with weight a little bit, not quite so much. I don't think I was a compulsive overeater since childhood. Food was always my friend. I was always riddled with, I'm not smart enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not popular enough. But I think where food started to be an outlet to release some of those fears, and I really started to rely on food as a BFF, was after I had two children. I was in my early 30s. And similar to the ice storm that you guys just had in 1994 in January, there was an ice storm in New Jersey and I couldn't go out. I had two little ones and I found myself eating around the clock, like never before. And it occurred to me that if I had just been, all would be well. I would be smart enough. I would be pretty enough. I would have friends that were meaningful. And I thought late at night, after binging, that a knife and cutting off the fat would lead me to whatever I wanted. And fortunately, that insane thinking that thin is well, and that's all I needed, didn't come to fruition. I remember going back to work the next week and someone said to me, did you ever think that how you feel about yourself and food are related? Well, duh, I was overweight. I hadn't lost weight after having children and binging. Of course, I felt terrible about my body. But it was the beginning of a thread of maybe some of my emotional unhappiness had something to do with not just food, but how I saw the world, what my perception was, the lack of a power greater than myself. In any case, I got myself to program. I went to a meeting, I didn't connect. I don't know why, but I went to another one. I found a food sponsor. I got abstinent right away. So disgusted with myself, so unhappy. Just tell me what to do. And it was all about losing weight. And I found that he wasn't happy still, even thinner, wasn't happy still. But left the program, came back in, left the program. My current abstinence is from October 1st, 2016. I have looked the steps a few times. I'm working them again. Now, I think it's a daily way of life. And I want to talk about honesty and then talk about relapse. So I think rigorous honesty is the first step of this program for me. I not only wanted to be thin and think thin, but I came to believe that this program was the way of life for me. And I love that everybody travels on their own unique and broad highway to figure out with their higher power what they need. Nobody tells me what to eat. Nobody tells me how to do this program. I wouldn't work well with a sponsor like that. I don't want to be that sponsor. We all get to figure it out slowly with God's help. So honesty is an awareness of what is right and appropriate. It helps me to determine how God wants to see my behavior and then the relationships that I have with other people. Meetings are incredibly gut-wrenching for me. I get to 2 or 3 a day just because I need to keep my vulnerability and my rawness honest. And I want to give others an opportunity to share with me what I haven't even faced in myself. I think the honesty comes first from step zero, which is putting down the food and paying attention to what foods still give me a little thrill, what needs to be a new red light food. Therapy along this lines, I want to say first is very important for some, and I tried it. Why am I a compulsive overeater? Why don't I like myself? How can I change myself? And the matter is so clear to me. I can't change myself. I need that higher power. I need something beyond myself because my judgment is not too good about being able to change myself and wanting to be in charge. So I think that the 12 steps can help me to change the disease of misperception about what I need to be honest about. And certainly food is one of them. But my behavior is another. My spirituality is another. The list can go on and on about things that I have been able to see differently. That shift in perception. It's not me that's keep messing up. It's everybody else in my life. They would only do as I say and suggest. I don't know where that gets me. In any case, so I'm loving that the 12 steps helped me to dismantle my dishonesty and my self-defeating beliefs. So if I'm going to, let's say, meet some new people, I think my default is still, I'm not interesting, I'm not enough. And then program has taught me, is that rational? Is that real? Is that how my higher power, God wants to see me? How can I change my thinking so that I'm not falling into this rabbit hole of thinking that I don't need a way out of? I used to think that self-knowledge, I grew up in a family of two college professors as parents. And so self-knowledge was very important. And I didn't know what to do at like step zero, putting the food down. I just couldn't do it by myself. I needed a sponsor. And then I needed more sponsors and more people talking on the phone and more meetings and listening to how other people do it. I can't solve this disease, but I can do it with my higher power's help and with the help of others. Step one, admitting that this food was injurious. I was definitely able to say food was a problem, but could I distinguish the good from the bad, what I needed to eat and what I needed to skip? I have to be truthful about the food, not only with my sponsor, but with others. And I also wanted to talk about honesty when it comes to step two. I love the part in the big book about choosing your own conception. I think first I thought, I can't do that. I can't, find something that will really help me. But I have. And that conception gets to change. And I love how Bill writes that in choosing his own conception, he melted the icy intellectual mountain in his own head of how the higher power had to be, the power that it had, and what it meant to him, what it could do in his own life. He was willing to believe that there was a power greater than himself, and that God truly is concerned with us when we want him enough. I needed it and I wanted it. So what I wanted to focus on next is what relapse warning signs there are for me, and what I like to do each day in terms of working against a relapse. So I'm going to read something out of a big book. On page 85, it says, "It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do. For alcohol, food is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are the thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed His directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us." So I read that because I don't want to do the extra work every day. I want to be cured. I want to be fixed. I want to be available for others. I do want to rest on my laurels because that's the racist way. So I want all of us to think about ways in which our program has some warning signs in it. So I broke this up into categories of program, the physical and food, the emotions, spiritual and attitudinal, and then the last one is life events and triggers. So as far as my OA program, if I miss meetings, I might be headed for a relapse. If I have no contact with my sponsor, or if I have no contact with other fellows, I might be headed for a relapse. What can I do today that I didn't do yesterday, that I don't want to do today? In moving towards what I think God's will is for me, which is this program works for me. I'm happier. Is it rainbows and unicorns every day? That's not real life. Continuing in the OA program category, am I leaving meetings early or getting to them late? Am I not sponsoring? Am I doing little or no service? Am I not reading any literature? Do I follow the traditions? And by the way, this is from a PDF on a relapse prevention workshop, and I'd be happy to share it with anybody. If I have no action plan, if I'm reducing self-care routines, and less prayer and meditation. So all of those are related to the program. The book describes to us things that we can do to stay in fit spiritual condition. What of those things am I doing today? I'm going to take out the words good and bad, but practicing, or maybe more time. So for each of us, if we could share later the things that we do to get out of the flow. I think that'd be helpful for me. I don't know if it would be helpful for anybody else. Yeah, and the next category in this PDF is physical slash food. So as a compulsive overeater following a three meals a day and one snack, am I eating between meals? Am I experiencing portion creep? Am I rationalizing my food choices? Are some of those yellow light or red light foods entering into my green light foods? Am I eating out more than normal? Am I doing some night eating or some grazing? All of these things are things that I have done leading to relapse. But then they become warning signs, and I get to ask myself, is this a warning sign? Do I need to do something about it? Can I pray about that? Can I bring it to God? Can I bring it to another fellow? Here's what I'm experiencing. Can I talk about it for a minute? Or maybe do a 10 step on it? Adding drugs or alcohol or other addictive behaviors or substances like cigarettes. Am I obsessed with free foods like sugar-free gum? I have a sponsee now who's playing with sugar-free caramels. I hope I'm not breaking the tradition here. I had mentioned that, but I can't. Am I moving away from the measuring, assuming that you did measure at one point? And am I excessively weighing myself? So all of those things are things that are moving towards a relapse that have to do with food. The next category are emotions, spiritual, and attitude. Have I lost a connection with HP? Do I have ongoing resentments that I hold on to? Even though the program suggests that doing so is poison. Do I have some arrogance or complacency around the steps or the program of action? Do I have insomnia? Am I anxious about something more than usual? If I'm always anxious. Do I have some other mental health issues? Do I have some medication side effects that are new? Do I have health issues that affect my emotions, like an injury so that I can't walk, something like that? And is there anything else that's affecting my serenity? All of these things are precursors, according to this handout, to a relapse. All things that I need to watch out for. The last column of triggers of possible relapse, warning signs, are life events. So work loss or work challenges, including coworkers, financial issues, health issues, including my own and loved ones around me, travel, particularly to new places. This is a trigger for me. We get on an airplane and go somewhere, like, woo, party. But I have to take my program with me. Holiday and food traditions, a move, taking care of little ones, teenagers, elderly adults, whatever it is. Relationship difficulties. When family members come to me and have problems, those are all reasons why I can just say, I can't do program right now, or I have to put it on the back burner. And obviously, a death of a loved one would be a trigger. So, what does anti-warning signs look like. Making lots of phone calls, especially when I need help. My husband and I were visiting some friends. We got back today. We were away for a couple of days. And I noticed my husband was talking and talking and talking. I got more and more and more resentful. I excused myself into the bedroom and I made a phone call. I have to ask for help. I can't depend on my own understanding of the way he's supposed to act. He's a grown man. He has his own higher power. I had to do a 10-step on my husband's talking. I doesn't matter how many times I've done the steps, I still have those emotions. Calling someone after I've taken an action, maybe even bookending those calls, helps. Texting, emailing, praying, going to meetings, doing more service. Doing something that I don't think I need to do is a big one for me. Because I don't want to look like I need help. I want to look like I got it all down. Program's making my life happy, joyous, and free. Done. I'm going to close up because I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say. How does it feel to hear some of those warning signs? What are some of the warning signs that you've experienced and what to do about them? Those are things that I can ask of you guys to help me through my program, to help me be part of this community. And it's in great gratitude that I close and ask for your feedback and input. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Joyce.